Concerning the taking of what is not given, he abstains from taking what is not given, taking only what is given, expecting only what is given. By not stealing, he abides in purity. So this is about not taking, and of course, the opposite of taking is giving, right? So when you take something, you're being greedy. When you're giving something away, you're doing the opposite of greed. So here, generosity is not actually mentioned in the gradual training. That doesn't mean that you are not generous as a monastic. You're still generous in many ways, right? It's just that usually when the Buddha talks about generosity, it talks more about kind of giving of your material wealth. And giving of your material wealth is obviously limited what you can do as a monastic. And that's why I don't think it's part of this gradual training. But actually, it is really part of this one here. You don't take what is given, but you do the opposite. You are generous. In whatever way it is that you're generous, you help other people out in this way. And it says here, expecting only what is given. I think maybe a better translation there is wanting only what is given. In other words, you don't steal, but you don't even think about desiring anything which you're not given, right? You don't kind of reflect, oh, it would be nice to have that, it would be nice to have this. Even that thought isn't in your mind. So it's again a very high kind of purity, right? Only wanting what is given to you. And it is amazing how quickly this can infiltrate your mind, this idea of desiring. One of the great things about not having money, I have to say, is a wonderful thing, because after a while you stop thinking about what you want, right? Because you can't have it anyway. Sometimes you can, because we have a nice store in the monastery, so all your kind of basic requisites are catered for. But generally, you can't really choose all that much. There's a very limited what you can have in life. And it's actually great, because after a while you stop thinking about those things. And then what happens is that somebody comes to you and says, oh, you know, I'd like to give you anything you like. You know, if anything you ever need, please let me know. Or what happened to me recently, I went to Melbourne and I taught a retreat very similar to this in Melbourne a few months ago. And afterwards they sent a check, right? They sent a check with all the donations. There was a couple of $1,000 in there of donations afterwards. And they said, this is for you. Whatever you need, this check is for you, you know. So you just find a steward who can look after the money, and whatever you need from those $2,000, you can have. And it's terrible, because once you have $2,000, you might be able to use on something. You start thinking, oh yeah, maybe I could, you know, maybe something useful. I could use that money on. And fortunately, we have a long-standing policy at Bodhinyana Monastery that we don't actually keep private funds in this way. It is allowable, according to the Vinaya, to have a private fund if you need a robe or something like that. But at Bodhinyana, we don't do that. We have all the funds are usually accumulated together. And then if you need something, you get it from the stores. So I quickly sort of thought, okay, I better do that, otherwise I'm going to get into trouble. The check just went into the ordinary donations and goes to the Buddha Society and then sits in the Buddha Society account, and you realize how useful that actually is, because it takes away so much of the wanting, so much of the craving. You're wanting only what is given, right? You don't think about things that you might be able to get for yourself. And there's a great sense of freedom in that. The last part here is, he says that by not stealing, he abides in purity. And I'm not exactly sure precisely what that means, but presumably it means that there is some sense of impurity if you steal. You feel somehow impure. It makes your mind kind of feel uneasy, or maybe slightly ashamed of yourself. I have stolen something. You don't feel good afterwards, right? The sense of impurity inside. And this is this idea that, you know, it's not whether other people know that you have stolen. That's not really the issue. The issue is that you know that you have stolen. So you feel impure. You feel a sense of shame. You feel unworthy because you have done this. That is the issue, right? And this is what this is driving home. You feel a sense of impurity inside because you have stolen something which isn't really yours. It's interesting that this is specifically said about stealing, right? It's very interesting. I don't really know exactly why that is, but maybe there is something about stealing that makes you feel impure. Investigate that. I don't know if you have stolen anything recently, but if you have, you can maybe think about what kind of feeling it gives rise to. And then hopefully that will deter you from doing it again in the future. Anyway, so the last one here is abandoning in celibacy. He observes celibacy, living apart, abstaining from the vulgar practice of sexual intercourse. So again, you can see here we're talking about the monastic training, right? In celibacy is not really a very good translation because the word celibate is very ambiguous. It's not very clear what it means. But basically, you are abandoning all sexuality. That's what it means, basically. Yeah. So that should really be the translation. And that is the newest translation in the Anguttara Nikaya. That is what Bhikkhu Bodhi translates it as. So you're living apart, abstaining from the vulgar practice, this idea of vulgar. I don't think vulgar is a very good word. Vulgar in our day and age means things like kind of coarse and bad and uncultured and all these kind of things, right? Not having a good taste or whatever. That's what vulgar tends to mean these days. Traditionally, vulgar doesn't mean the common people, right? And in that sense, that's exactly what it means. It means the common people. So what it should be translated as is the common practice, or the ordinary practice. That is what it should mean. The Pali word is a Gama Dhamma, the practice, the village practice, quite literally is what it means, Gama Dhamma. So it means the ordinary practice. So you step away from that, and then that is what the celibate life is all about. Okay, so that is right action for you, and so I think that's probably enough for now, and then we're going to move on to right speech afterwards. So this afternoon there will be another sutta reading at between 3 and 4, and then we can continue with the gradual training at that time. So I'll see you then.